Everyone, good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and I'm really excited about our Paradigm Shifter tonight. As most of you know, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive energy counselor, and I'm really excited about how various people around the world are making a difference in shifting the collective of our species, making it a little more high frequency, if not a lot, and ready to take some kind of big shift into the evolution of our species. So our guest tonight is a wonderful worker on this vein. Her name is Sharon Wyeth. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Veronica.
We're going to have some fun because Sharon says, know the name, know the person. That's the name of your book, and you call it Namology. But she has this wonderful, went from school teaching to teaching us how to handle choosing people according to names, assessing and understanding people according to names, and what else? And bringing in the light keepers, your channel beings, are going to give us more dimensions on this, right?
Well, we'll talk about it, and depends on people's questions.
Well, we have less than an hour to accomplish all of this, so we got to get going, right?
Exactly.
So I wanted to ask you a question right to the from the beginning. Is it true that a rose by any other name still smells as sweet? No, I had to say that.
Actually, rose is a wonderful name. It's someone who is carrying a sword that for truth, and they've got a wonderful rebellious spirit so that they're not sucked into not being able to use their discernment. And they want the truth, and they got that double-edged sword. They're just ready anytime somebody's not honest with them to just whack off their heads.
Oh, you know? Wow. Oh, that's great.
But at the same time, it's balanced. They know how to nurture. They know how to be loyal. They know how to take care of other people.
Wow.
So it's
really
a wonderful balance in the name Rose.
Well, I want to throw in something else, and this is people are going to call in, so I want to throw in some little bits before. One is we are living in a time of huge change in the American, hierarchies, government, systems, and all of that are under siege at some level. A lot of stuff about being dishonest, and people feel they've lost their voice and are trying to regain it. So I was just wondering if there would be any difference if it were called, if it's called a republic or if it's called a democracy.
There's a huge difference. And our forefathers really put it in as a republic, and it's morphed into what is considered a democracy. The republic fights for what's right, fights for what's true, takes into consideration people's feelings, needs to have balance, there needs to be playtime, but at the same time there needs to be competition to be the very best we can be and stay very independent. With a democracy, you're still looking at people's feelings, but instead of honoring people's feelings, you're attempting to manipulate people's feelings. And then you want to do what's best for the government instead of best for the people. So there's a huge difference in the words.
Interesting. So I wonder if that's going to impact anything. So let's see now. The basis, you're a school teacher, right?
Well, yes, I teach at a college.
And how did you come up with this system? You're also a math major at university, right?
Yes, I happen to be one of those. Everybody's favorite subject is math. At least it is in my classroom, I always tell them.
Well, it's also a very intuitive study, isn't it?
Well, what happened was with namology is I was doing seating charts. I was teaching middle school that year, and I started doing the seating charts, and I realized that my brain was analyzing the kids' names according to who should sit where the same way that it does when I really know students. And so I thought, okay, my brain, because of math, has been trained in patterns. And so my brain has picked up some kind of patterning with the names instead of just numbers. So I wrote down everything that the names were telling me about the students. And then I put it aside. You know, I thought, I'll look at this later. I really want to get to know the kids for who they are. And so when I looked at it at winter break, I was amazed at the accuracy. So I looked at that and I said, I've got to figure out consciously now what my brain was doing unconsciously. It took me 15 years to figure out all the nuances and all the patterns. And amazingly, when I teach it, I can teach it in 15 hours. And everybody can do it just as well as I can. But it did figure out patterns of what personality traits went with which letter and the placement of the letters in the name.
Wow. Now, you didn't have to study any books or anything for this. It just came intuitively and through your ability to see patterns. Is that right?
Well, a little bit of both. I didn't do any books because I wanted to keep it pure. I wanted to keep it uninfluenced by other systems that were already out there because I believe that if it's a truth, it's easy to be rediscovered because it's truth, so it would hold true regardless if it's remembered or not. And so what I did was I started with columns on all the Davids I knew because there was a plethora of Davids in my life. And I wrote a column for every David and all the attributes I could think of that described each one. And I looked and said, which of these attributes are the same across the paper? That has to be sitting in the name David. But look at the attributes that are different. What's left, middle name and last name? It has to come from there. And so there was a lot of trial and errors, and I worked on it tremendously and had huge papers of research and was talking to everybody about letters and names, and I think I was driving everybody nuts. But I was really obsessed with this. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up with questions, and Spirit would say, did you try this? What about this? And they would guide me where to go next. They didn't give me answers, but they gave me direction and guidance.
Yeah, I find that when I channel, it's the same thing. They won't just give you the answer. So you've been working with what you call, well, you're calling it Spirit. What about the Light Keepers? Have they come in on this scenario as well?
Well, when I call Spirit, it's just easier than calling Light Keepers because I think everybody has access to Spirit, and the team that I have access to, I've named the Light Keepers.
And did they, so they've kept fueling your search and supporting you, eh?
Well, and when I would get really discouraged or I'd say, I just can't figure out this pattern, they'd go, well, have you thought about this? Why don't you test it and see if it works?
So this took 15 years, huh?
It took 15 years to figure out the nuances and the patterns, and then I traveled around the world. I went to over 70 countries and tested it in different languages that use our same symbols. And I wanted to see if it worked just as well regardless of where I was and regardless of the language. And
so
the answer is yes.
Wow.
And there's a few nuances. Like in English, when two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking. And in German, when two vowels go walking, the second one does the talking. And so when I'm interpreting a German name, whatever the vowels are, I'll reverse the order if there's two of them together and able to get the correct meaning. But there's very few of those nuances like that. And I put them all in the book.
So what? And the book is called Know Your Name, Know the Person. What is it?
Know the Name, Know the Person. Because once you know the name, you know a lot about the person.
Well, this is really exciting. And so let's get to work. First of all, we're going to give out the numbers because you said you'd like to accept callers tonight. So let's everybody.
Oh, I love that.
Let's have some callers. Let's talk to some people about what your name means, or you can ask Sharon anything about, for example, the use of names, can't you? There's a number of ways we can use this. So the call-in number is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. So let me ask you this. Is Sharon your given name?
Yes, it is.
And so you didn't change that at all. Is your last name Wyeth, is that?
Oh, I made that one up.
Oh, you did? So let's tell everybody why you, do you mind telling everybody why you chose? Oh, first of all, tell us about the placement of the name, the first name, middle name, and last name.
Okay, the first name is the essence of who you are. It's the personality that you're carrying for this lifetime. It is truly your essence as you came down to express. The last name represents your environment. So it's like this essence of who you are gets dropped into the environment, and then how are they going to play on each other? So you could have two people, you know, with the same first name, but they get dropped into different last names or different environments, okay? And so that acts differently on them. And then the middle name is the name that the parent gives, and they do it on a subconscious basis if they don't know nameology, and they're going, okay, what name can aid my child when I look at this name? What name do I think could help them? What qualities or characteristics? The middle name is like the gift from the parents. So under stress, you pull on that middle name and the qualities there. And every once in a while, you think you really, really know somebody, and then they do something and you go, okay, wait a minute, I thought I know this person. Where'd that come from? That's usually a quality or characteristic that's coming out of the middle name.
And what did you say to me earlier, that that is what happens under stress?
Yes, it's usually when we go under stress, we pull on everything that's in our bag. You know, everything that we know has to come forward to help us deal with whatever the stress is. And that's when you see people pulling from the middle name those qualities and characteristics. Now, what's also interesting is our vowels are show our emotions, and our consonants show our attitudes.
We have a caller, so we'll just finish this, and then we'll take our caller.
Okay, so you can have an emotion, and the more vowels that you have, and of course, depending on their placement, the easier it is to relate to other people, because if you have a vowel that expresses the same emotion as somebody else has a vowel in the same spot, it's really easy to understand that person. Whereas sometimes you have what I call opposing vowels, which means that you could come from something using an emotional base and somebody else comes from an opposing that's using a mental base. So like, for example, if the first vowel in your first name is an A, you want to logically look at everything and understand it through the mind. And when you're upset about something, once you can understand it through mental understanding, you're okay, you can release it, let it go, and move forward. Well, if your first vowel is an E, because the E and the A's are opposing vowels, then that means you look at everything through the heart and through the emotions. So if something's bothering you, you have to keep working with it until you can get your feelings, until it feels right. And once it feels right, then you can move on and progress. So
well,
when the A person's talking with the E person, they have to learn each other's styles.
So if your name starts with E and then it goes E-A, would that mean that you'd have to balance your heart and your mind in order to be balanced about the situation at hand?
If you have an E-A or an A-E together in your name anywhere, it does. It means that one of the challenges you came in with in this lifetime is to learn how to balance the heart and the mind. Learn to get them on the same page. Make sure that they're congruent. And depending on which one comes first, if it's A-E, then if you can't get them in alignment, you need to go with the mental. And if it's E-A, if you cannot get yourself in alignment, then you go with the emotions.
Interesting. Now, I haven't forgotten I asked you about Wyeth, but let's take our caller who's patiently, I hope, waiting. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you guys doing? Thank you. My name is Raphael Unson. I have a question. What does Raphael mean?
What's your last name again, Raphael?
Ungson, U-N-G-S-O-N.
Really interesting last name. You must have had a lot of fun in the household that you grew up with, because your last name is very balanced in let's play, let's have fun, and yet let's be very logical and let's get our work done. And we have high expectations for our kids. Is your first name spelled R-A-F-A-E-L?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm spelling it right before I interpret it. It means that you have a tendency to be a workaholic, that you are very sensitive to criticism. And when you're done working, you like a couch potato. It's one extreme or the other. Because when you're down for the count. And if you could get somebody else to go to the bathroom for you, you'd let them. But when you're working, you're task-oriented. You want to get that project done. And, in fact, you can see very clearly what other people on the team need to get done and able to get the task done. And if somebody's slacking or not seeing something that needs to get done, you'll very often go behind them and do it for them, knowing that that task has to be done. But the problem with that is that they didn't see it needed to be done in the first place, so then they don't recognize that you went and did it for them, and therefore they don't say thank you, and then you think, oh, my gosh, nobody ever appreciates all the work I do around here, because they don't see it. They didn't see it to begin with. They don't see it afterwards.
Is that true, Ross?
Well, it's very true. My middle name is Rivera, so Rafael Rivera. I was thinking of mixing Unson. What would have happened if I just kept Rafael Rivera?
Well, what you're doing is you're taking a lot of the play out of your life.
Ew,
we won't want to do that.
That doesn't sound good.
Because your other names have a lot more work involved in them, and you're getting a lot of your play or a lot of your balance out of your last name. And remember, that's your environmental name, so that means play comes to you through others. So you take that away, and you put in your serious last name, and you're taking away other people bringing fun and enjoyment and play to you.
Okay. Very
good. Would that improve his working life?
Yeah, but he's already got enough letters that say, I know how to work.
You've
got a bit of a rebellious spirit in there. You don't like to be told what to do. You like to be asked.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Very much.
Uh-huh. Hey, Raphael, thank you for your call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. Well, Raphael is a wonderful person. I happen to know him, and he is a lot of fun. Oh, we have another caller. Do you want to take that right away?
Sure.
All right. You're on the air with Sharon Wyeth, and your name
is Kathy. I've got a really quick question. What happens if you use your nickname rather than your birth, your full name?
Oh, I love that question, Kathy.
Because my name is Kathleen, but usually only strangers use it. I go by Kathy.
What happens is your birth name is like the foundation on the floor, okay, when you are building your house. It is your foundation. That's your cement. Now, in our floors, we put tile or carpet or wood. You know, we cover that cement foundation, even if we're just covering it with paint. It doesn't change our foundation. It just changes what you see. And that's the same way that nicknames work. Our nickname doesn't change the base of who we are, which is represented in the birth name, but it changes the parts that we see. So by you changing Kathleen to Kathy, you're saying, I'm empathic. But I don't want everybody to know that I'm empathic and I pick up everybody's feelings. And I would like to be able to control which feelings I pick up and which ones not. So if I drop that lean part of Kathleen and add this Y, then I can be a chameleon and get along with everybody that I want to, and they don't have to know how really sensitive I am to their emotions and what's going on with them.
Woohoo.
Oh, that's interesting. And then one real quick question. A lot of people, once they get divorced, they change their name back to their original name. Does that change anything?
Well, it does. It means like they're trying to go back to the comfort of home. And what I find is a good number of people, you're right, that do that. They go back to their maiden name. And there's a lot of people like me out there that just make up a name.
Huh.
That say, okay, I don't need to go backwards. I've learned what I learned from the birth name. There were good parts to it. I'm going to grab those letters. and then I don't want the married name. And even before I knew namology, I knew I didn't want that last name. But I got married in Germany, and you both have to have the same name. Whatever it is, you can make it up, but you both have to have the same name. And then in, so anyway, I just made up one. I said, what would I like in my environment to help support me? What letters is that represented by? And then I just played with them until I came up with a name that would be halfway recognizable that then people could say.
So tell us a little bit about the letters.
So, well, in the last name, that's your environment. So if you go back to your original one, you're saying, I felt more secure, I was happier in the environment that I grew up in than in my marriage environment. So that would make someone prone to go back to their original last name. And the ones that say, you know what, I want to take the good but not the other that was in the birth last name, and I want to make my environment something that supports me, will then make up a last name. And it takes about 7 years. It's like the sands of time. You know, if you have the sands going through and dropping, and 7 years you get complete transformation, but it doesn't all of a sudden hit you like a brick over the head. It's very slow over a seven-year time period.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kathy. In my last name, I wanted strength and people around me. I wanted them to be independent. At the same time, I wanted strength and I wanted strong convictions in people. It didn't matter whether they agreed with me or not. I wanted people to be passionate about life. And since your last name brings you that, in my name, I picked the W for the wisdom and the Y for the strength and the E for the fun and the TH for the strong passion that people would have about living.
E is for fun, huh?
E is for fun. And in my birth name, E's and U's are fun.
Hmm.
Okay? It means sense of humor and knows how to play. And anyway, they have more fun. And in my birth name, I had not one E and not one U.
Hmm.
And I was really serious all the way through. I mean, I graduated from college at 20 and started teaching school at age 20, already with my teaching credential. I mean, I was so focused and so serious on everything. And as I started thinking about it, I thought, I need a lot more play in my world. And so I just thought it would be, since I got to make up my name, I thought, let's put it in my environment.
Mm-hmm,
so I brought in an
great
E.
And so what's the T again?
The TH combination is conflict or passion.
Hmm.
So it's people that are very strongly opinionated and have a passion for life.
Hmm.
And some people would find that intimidating because those people have very strong, opinions and are very comfortable with conflict.
Hmm.
Okay? Because they're so opinionated, I mean, they're going to get conflict. But I just thought, I want passion for life. Life is such a treasure. And I think we forget when we get bogged down in the day-to-day of paying bills and making a meal and everything we have to do, that sometimes we forget, we go on routine, instead of what a gift this is, a learning opportunity to grow and to really grow spiritually and to grow in our ability to love.
Well, that's for sure.
Because what else do we get to take with us when we're no longer here?
That's right. Well, the thing I was thinking when Kathy asked that about maiden names and about married names and about divorces and all that, we go through life and we change and change and change and change. Can you, it seems then that we wouldn't be able to keep the same name without being restricted by it. Is that
simplistic? Oh, we can. Look at the males in our lives. You know, a lot of the male population has the same name all the way through. And
mm-hmm.
It's so fabulous that we women have more flexibility in that. I think society just gives us more. But if you look at the roles also of male and female, males are much more aggressive or assertive, and females are much more receptive.
Mm-hmm,
and so
that's true.
With different varying names, it keeps us flexible so that we keep receiving or being able to receive instead of getting stuck.
I'm just thinking about that a lot. I need to be quiet here. Well, I'm Entwistle. That was my not my maiden name, not my first married name, but my second married name. But I've kept that name, and I think it's really good for me. Do you think so?
I think so. It goes along with Veronica really well. It supports it. It means that your environment is in alignment with who you are.
Hmm.
Because it's a nice match. There's nothing conflicting in your last name or in your environment compared to your first name.
Hmm. I always thought it sounded kind of musical and like a gothic novelist.
Well, it brings you great wisdom.
Ah.
You know, there's three letters that represent intelligence. It's the J, the S, and the W. And they all bring it from a different direction, okay? There's different qualities or different aspects of the same quality that different letters can have. And the J and the S and the W are wonderful examples of that. Because the J are those people that are just brilliant. They just have intuitive knowingness. It's what I call street smart. You know, you ask them a question and they give you an answer, and you think, wow, how'd you know that? And in their head, they're thinking, uh-huh, and how come you didn't? You know, because it's just intuitive to them. Mm. And then you have the S, which represents school smart, is my key to my brain. And that means I can learn anything. Show me the beginning and the basics. But once I catch on, go away. I want to do the rest myself. But just show me the foundation. So I can learn anything as long as somebody starts me. And that's what I call school smart, with the S. And then the W is wisdom through experience. You know, you burned your hand on a fire, so you learn, don't put your hand in the fire. But somebody can tell you not to put your hand in the fire, and you think, I want to do that for myself and see for myself. You know? So you learn through the experience, and you get wise because you don't like to make the same mistakes twice. You know?
So you can... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, in your name, you have both the W and the S. So you're learning through experience, and you can learn anything when somebody shows you the foundation. You've got two out of the three letters right there in your environment helping you.
Well, lucky me, and I didn't even plan it. Now, how much of this do we plan intuitively? This is pretty good, isn't it?
Well, I happen to think that we name ourselves. And the reason for that is if you look at the ancient religions when there were still only seven on the planet before they all kind of multiplied and spread and changed and morphed and whatever, they all agreed on 10 basic thoughts. And one of those 10 was that the incoming soul impresses upon the one that's going to be naming them what they want to be called. So if we're naming ourselves, we are in essence giving ourselves the letters and the support and the challenges that we need to grow as a soul.
That's interesting, because I was going to say to you, I was going to be called Donna Marie, and my parents changed apparently just as I was born.
So. And so whatever you had to do on the psychic realms to get them to say, no, I'm not that, I'm a this, you know.
Yeah, and I think Veronica is more appropriate, actually. Oh,
absolutely.
We have another caller. Isn't that exciting? You're on the air.
Hello.
Good evening. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I was interested in knowing what my name meant.
Uh-huh, and what's your name, please?
Kadian, K-A-D-I-A-N.
And your last name?
Grant.
G-R-A-N-T.
Do you go with our married name or our maiden name?
It doesn't matter. Just tell me which one it is that you gave me.
Oh, Grant. G-R-A-N-T.
Okay, is that you're married?
Yes.
Okay, it just gives me different information, but every name gives information, okay?
Okay.
And I love your first name.
Thank you. Very unusual, isn't it?
Well, and it is wonderful. It says, I know how to work. I don't always necessarily want to work, even though other people would like me to work all the time. And it says, I'm independent. I'm trying to improve the world. I'm doing my best to make this a better place. I have natural leadership abilities, but I use it for the good of the whole and not just myself. And so if I benefit, everybody around me benefits. You would be called in to lead, even though sometimes you're thinking, I don't want that position. That's too much work, too much trouble, too much something. But and yet you keep finding yourself in leadership positions. You would be very, very highly sensitive to criticism and just want to shut down when somebody criticizes you. I mean, your name says you'd be taking like a big breath going, okay, hang in there, come up with something, you know, to stay present when criticized, because you're highly sensitive to your surroundings and you're analyzing everything. Everything, it's like all the grains of sand that are around you where you live. You want to know what they all are. You want to analyze all of them. You want to understand all of them. it's a fascinating name because you're willing to change and grow through understanding.
Wow.
You got a good memory.
Wow, she just described me, yes. Wow.
What about the grand
now,
part?
If I, huh?
Well, I did it all together because you're dropping the first name into the last name of the environment.
Oh,
okay.
And that's why
so
I was asked.
What happens
if not,
you
every Katie
middle
would
name?
Be the same. So what is your middle name?
Rosemary.
Okay. So under stress or in a pinch or when there's a lot of pressure on you, you have a name that says, I will self-sacrifice myself for the good of the whole, but get out of my way because I'm taking charge because I know best.
That's practical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Does that ameliorate, does that soften Katie in? Does that help balance her out quite well?
Well, it's nice because you're not seeing an aggressive person the majority of the time. But when she gets under stress, she's going to become quite assertive.
Aha. So that's practical, isn't it?
It's very practical. It's like if there's an emergency, you want her there because she's going to react in a very positive, very strong way, where some people will just, you know, freeze. And she's the one in that emergency that's going to say, get out of my way, I'm taking charge, you do this, you do that, you do that, I'm becoming bossy, but we're going to get this done.
Oh,
and then
great.
Afterwards, she can go right back to saying, okay, guys, we're back to normal. I'm a nice guy again.
That sound like you, Cadian?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
And thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay,
you know,
bye-bye.
For your listeners, if they go to www.knowthename.com, either tonight or tomorrow, because it's late tonight, and they sign up for the newsletter that comes and teaches them some of this on a periodic basis every couple of days, they get a special treat, and that's part of their name analyzed for them.
Oh, how wonderful. There's a lot of information in that newsletter. I was going through a lot of it. So tell me this, if you're not going to change your name, actually, how can we use the names as we experience them? As you meet somebody new, it's maybe a business meeting or a date. How do you use that information?
Well, if it's a business meeting, I want to know whether that person, and you can tell immediately from looking at the vowels, whether they're going to communicate on a feeling level or whether they're going to communicate on a mental level. I
so
want to be able
Bob.
To talk in their... And Bob, I'm going to go on the mental level.
Okay.
And I'm going to let Bob know, if we're talking, how he can have the competitive edge, because a Bob would be very competitive and at the same time very nurturing to those around him.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Well, we have a caller, but I really like that. We need to know how to use it in the moment, don't we?
Right. And on a date, when some people ask me out for a date, I think, okay, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time, because our time is valuable. It's really the gift that we have that we give each other when we share our time. And so there's some letters and some combinations that I think I already know me well enough that I know that's not going to work.
Mm.
You know, and it has nothing to do with how wonderful a person that is there. I just know that ideology-wise and communication-wise, we're not going to do well together.
Well, I
you know,
think...
without a lot of extra effort.
Is it true that you can get that most quickly from the vowels, or is it from the combination of the beginning of your name and the beginning of his right off the bat?
I actually look at the vowels because I want to see the emotional structure. I want to see the communication style. I want to see, you know, the consonants show our attitudes and our beliefs, but the vowels show how we feel about things and how we're going to respond to things and how we choose to communicate. Do we shut down when we're put under pressure? Do we choke and not be able to express our feelings? You know, do we take over and don't let the other person speak? I want to know how they're going to do things, you know, how they're going to communicate.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, we have a caller, and I'm going to pick more of your brain about this one after our caller. Good evening. You're on the air meeting Sharon Wyeth and learning about your name. Hello? Well, let me throw another name in. Can I throw another name in, Sharon?
Sure.
I would like to ask you about Dade Amon, D-A-D-E, and then E-A-M-O-N.
I love this first name. It's not a very common name, but 50% of it says that God is important in my life.
Aww.
And I start with God during the day, and there's not many moments when I'm not focused on source or spirit or growing.
Aww.
And I would not be surprised, though, on the other hand, if Dade had a junk area, drawer, room, if a messy desk. It's like he gets his imagination going and his creative juices flowing when he's in the middle of a mess. So if everything is too neat, too clean, too put away, it's like his brain goes stale and it's harder for him to think. If somebody was going to be working with him, they might have to say, would you please contain your mess to your area and not let it spread, but understand that he thinks better with a mess.
Oh, that's very interesting, isn't it? Does that include his last name?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Now, we do have a caller. I hope it's the one we lost earlier, so we'll see. You're on the air. I hope you're there.
I'm here.
Yeah. Welcome.
This is Diane Sharon. From Bellingham.
Hi, Diane. This is Sharon. I guess you knew that.
Yes, I did. I was wondering about my children's names.
Oh, okay. Then I need a full name.
Crystal is my daughter, and it's Krystal. And my son is Ceferino, which is C-E-F as in Frank, E-R-I-N-O.
Interesting name.
And they both have the same last name, which is DeCaney, D-E-C-A-N-E-Y.
E-Y. Okay. So from the family, they're learning how to work even though there's times when neither one of them wants to. They're really good at doing their own thing and getting excited about their own thing, but not necessarily wanting to do what other people want them to do. But they're so cute and so loving when they decline to do what people want them to do that people excuse that from them. When I'm looking at Crystal, the older she gets, the more self-confident she gets. And she's a leader, and she's the leader of leaders, but I see a lot of hesitation or stubbornness she's got a lot of perseverance also, because every group of letters has both a gift in it, which is the perseverance, and then the challenge in the ST is the stubbornness. But it's like she's a reluctant leader. It's like when she's coerced to lead, she does a good job, and she likes her own autonomy, but she doesn't always want to lead. She doesn't always want to have that position. And it's basically because she wants to feel very secure in her own knowledge base before she takes the leadership position. She doesn't want to be pushed there before she feels she's ready.
Uh-huh.
Okay? She should be really athletic in some way. Good hand-eye coordination, good body coordination. That would come out in athletics. It would come out in ability to play video games or to sew or to do arts and crafts. She would have really good, knowing where her body is and how to move it and how to get it to do what she wants it to do. She's quite a leader with that. And also, I would not be surprised at all looking at her full name if she wasn't quite intuitive and yet at the same time didn't want others to know she was intuitive or was trying to hide that intuitiveness.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
Hmm. She's afraid of it?
Well, it's just like it's not kosher. her name says, this isn't an acceptable gift, and I'm not sure I want this, and I'm not sure I believe in this, and by golly, it just keeps showing itself.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's totally her. She's a Pisces, too, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You get that spirituality in there. When I'm looking at your son's name, he wants to make a difference in the world. He wants to be remembered. He wants to put his mark on the world. He wants people talking about him. He wants to make a difference. What's really
interesting... Does that feel right, Diane?
I think that maybe that is there underneath. Yeah. I don't think he's discovered that yet. Let's just say that.
Is he 28 yet?
Let's see.
Because where that's located in the name, that would start showing up after the age 28, 29.
Yeah, he's like 29.
Yeah, so you'll start seeing that more and more, I would think. because of where it's located in the name, it tells me it's going to start coming, kicking in between 28 and 29.
Hmm. Wow.
The other thing is, it's interesting in the name, is that he has a tremendous amount of feelings, but he wants to control the feelings, and he can't stand it if his feelings control him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? It's like he wants to bury some of those feelings, because if he can't control them, he doesn't want to have them. And
yeah,
so,
I think he feels really vulnerable.
Yes, that's a really good way of saying it. And where I'm getting that from is the CE. So anybody whose name starts with a CE would be prone to that. Okay? And he also has in his name that he is a kinesthetic learner and that touch is very important to him. Okay?
Hmm.
And he's a touch person. So he's somebody that would be really good in relationship with him is somebody else that likes to touch a lot. Okay, the different vowels tell us whether we touch or we don't touch, whether we handle touch in public or whether that's just taboo. Okay, and he's somebody that needs touch. I mean, it's literally in his name that he needs affection. That's very important to him, and in a good relationship, that has to be there. So that if he was dating somebody whose mental mind just really enthralled him, but they were a little bit, you know, uncomfortable with touch, he wouldn't be able to deal with it. Well, that relationship wouldn't last because he really needs the touch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But what's interesting, too, though, is he needs to learn, find out everything for himself, whether it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think that probably is true.
Hmm. I love that.
You know, the order of their arrangements in his name is that he trusts others, but he still wants to find out for himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for your call, Diane. That's been, I mean, your kids have really unusual names, too. That helps a lot.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It was very, I think it was very accurate. Kind of amazing you can tell that around, you know, like what something will come in at a certain age and all that. So
yeah.
Thank
well,
you very
you
much.
You're so welcome. When you learn namology, and like I said, it just takes 15 hours, which some people say may be a lot, but there's so many mnemonic devices, and I play games when I teach it so that you can really learn it. But one of the uses for it, my mom was calling me after I did this presentation in Hawaii, because one of the people that heard about the presentation and then came to her to get the book and anyway and read it was going to an interview that was highly competitive. And he said, okay, I'm going to use this information that's in this book to know how to communicate with the person interviewing me based on the letters of their name. And so he learned the material, and he went to this highly competitive interview where he knew he wasn't the best one qualified, even though he was qualified. And when he introduced the person that was interviewing him, he did a quick analysis of the name, knew the communication style, knew what he needed to say, and able to bring out those parts of him that that person would be looking for and that that person could identify with, and then called my mom afterwards and said, I want you to know I love that book because I went in not the most qualified for the job, highly competitive, a really good opportunity, and I was the one that used that in my interview and got offered the job.
And
what was the name of the book again?
Know the Name, Know the Person.
Okay.
And it's on the website, knowthename.com, or you can get it on Amazon or order it through Barnes & Noble or any of those.
But, Sharon, didn't you tell me earlier that he did not take the job after all?
He didn't, which I thought was really amazing, because what he also found out from then asking questions and hearing some of the other names, he decided that this wasn't a place where he would be the most comfortable, that would be the best fit for him. So after all that work and getting offered the job, he decided not to take it.
But he knew how to empower himself to get what he wanted from then on, didn't he?
Exactly. And that's the whole beauty of it. It's like, yes, I know how I need to speak so that I have the clearest communication.
Excellent. Well, that's a great way to use this.
Well,
I know we have another caller, and I think we should move to the next caller.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. But that's really good information because there's a lot of people out there looking for work. You know, and it really is something to focus on, isn't it? It's how to empower your
well,
job
and it
person.
Is It absolutely is, and it's also important if you're somebody who's doing the hiring to say, does this person have the qualities and characteristics that we're looking for that's going to adapt and do well with the team I already have? I mean, it could be there's a company out in San Diego that calls me every time they're going to hire, and they'll say, here's the people on the names that the hiring company gave us, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'll go down through the names and I'll say, what do you want this person to be able to do? And who is this person going to be working with? What's your team's names already? And then I'll go down and I'll say, don't even bother with this one, or that one. You know, and I'll narrow it down for her so that they have specific people to interview. And then I'll say, when you're interviewing this one, you may want to ask questions around this. When you're interviewing this one, ask questions over here, you know, to see how they're going to play if there's anything that's not clear in the name.
Wonderful.
But she's called me now for about 2 years, and constantly hiring. Their company's wonderfully growing, but she doesn't hire without a name check.
That's great. Now tell me this, and I know we have a caller. We'll go to you in just 1 minute. But a person can use those names or their relationship between their own personal power and the expression of it through the vowels or through the consonants or through the combination to discover more about their soul path and what they should be doing in the world, can't they?
Yes, they can. I really believe that your destiny with God's written in your name, because it says, here's my gifts, here's what I came to learn, and here's, I've mapped out how we're going to go about this or how I'm supposed to overcome the challenges by using these particular gifts. And it's right there in the name. And if you learn how to read the name accurately all the way through, it even tells you in years what you're focused on during what group of years.
So get the book off, knowthename.com. I can hardly wait to get mine. Good evening. You're on the air, and you've been very patient, I hope, anyway. So you're on with Sharon.
Hi, my name's Lorinda.
Lorinda?
Would you spell?
Lorinda. It's spelled L-A-U-R-I-N-D-A.
And your last name, Lorinda?
I've always had people ask me about my name, but I can only tell them about what I've researched so far as Latin-based.
It looks like
definition.
A combination of Laura and Linda. Could you give me your last name, please, so that I can give you an accurate interpretation?
Sure. My last name is H-A-G-E-R, Hager.
Okay. Is this your married name or your maiden name?
My maiden name.
Thank you. It means that you had a lot of lessons that your parents were instructed to teach you for this lifetime, because you would get comfortable in a routine or a pattern or how you're doing something, and your parents would keep insisting that you keep flexing and changing and growing. Okay? But they knew how to work with you. You know, and they knew how to teach you, but they were the ones that really pushed to make sure that you were going to get what you needed. In your name, it's interesting because you have a challenge of discernment. What I mean by that is you are so gracious and so accepting of everybody around you that sometimes others can take advantage of you because you've got such a good heart that sometimes you don't discern that this person, it's not appropriate for you to be giving to this person because they'll just take advantage over and over again. Okay? And, of course, that's a judgment call on my part. You know, maybe you just decide that's okay to give over and over and over again. Okay? But it's a wonderful gift of giving. You really want the best for everybody around. You would be like the caretaker of people around you, wanting everybody to get along and wanting family always to work everything out. It's your whole name says you would make a wonderful mediator. Okay? It also says, though, that you need time to reflect. You need time alone to look at things, think about things, reflect on things, and to decide and make up your mind if you want to do things differently or not. You know, you don't want to
that's
be pushed
true.
Into anything.
Hmm. Yes, that is true.
You know, and if you're around too many people for too long a period of time, it exhausts you.
That's exactly true.
You know, you need that time for reflection, introspection, and everything. And I would think that when you got started, you would just have everybody in stitches with your sense of humor.
Yes, I think I.
You know, it would be a very intelligent sense of humor.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
Well, that is great. I have, my mother gave me the gift of A-N-N, Anne, and it's I think it's a long-standing tradition in our family, but I never really knew what that gift was.
Well, with that gift, it means that under extreme stress and pressure, your brain is fully functioning. You can think clearly, and in fact, you have your clearest thinking when you're under stress.
Ooh, convenient.
Wow.
Okay, but no, thank
you so much for your call. I have to draw it to a close. Yes,
thank you so much. I appreciate
the
moment to have a conversation with you guys.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you
so much.
Bye.
Now I want to throw another question in for you, Ms. Sharon. Bye, Lorinda. Because I'm thinking people could use this to name businesses and so on. Do you work with people like that?
Occasionally I have. Occasionally people have called me and said, I'm thinking of creating a new business and I'd like an appropriate name. And it's really interesting. In the book, I go through and say, this is what the name Coca-Cola means and this is what the name Pepsi-Cola means. And I take some real business names that everybody would know, hopefully, and I say, this is what the name would say. And it was interesting because a lady that had called me to have her name done at one time said that she had worked for both Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola, and when she had read that in the book, she found it spot on. And she said now that she was starting her own business, she was calling me and saying, okay, this is what I want my company to be like. And what we do in those cases, I'm asking what the business is going to be and what the atmosphere of the business is going to be. Because, and then I start throwing out letters and saying, that can be represented with this letter, that letter, this letter. And we sit here and play with the letters until we have a name that sounds appropriate, that also the letters are saying the same, you know, what you want your business to say.
Yeah, because when you were saying Lorinda would be good for mediation, I was thinking about some kind of home that was nurturing people's harmony and growth and so on. Would it be like that?
She would be very good at that. She doesn't like conflict, though. Lorinda doesn't. So she would need somebody in there to help her that when there was conflict, she would deal with it through humor and trying to be nice. But if it was something that was really tough to say and you really had to get in somebody's face, she would need somebody else there to do that for her.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you need to build a business name around that combination then, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd build a business name that says we don't want to attract those people that would get in our face.
Okay, so what part of the letters will tell you what you attract? Would it be some position in the name or some specific
letter? It's a combination of the letters. The first letter of the first name says what somebody's first impression is. So you want to make a good first impression, you want a strong first letter. Okay? And on the other hand, unless you're in a really competitive field, you don't want to have a letter that's going to bowl somebody over. Okay? You don't want to be too strong. Unless you're in a highly competitive business, and then you want to say, like if you're a lawyer, hey, we have the best business over here. You know, you want us versus somebody else. And the last letter of the first name is the lasting impression that you leave. So that, like on Lucinda, when people talk about her behind her back, they're always going to say, isn't she nice?
Aww.
Same thing with yours, Veronica. You both have the A as the last letter. And so behind your back, when somebody says, hey, do you know Veronica, do you know Lucinda, the first thing somebody's going to say is, oh, yeah, these people are so nice.
Oh, that's a really nice way to deal with it. But we have to be out of – we have to finish this show. So I want people to know that it's – what is it? KnowYourName.com. To get hold of you, and that's also the name of the book, and the subject is called Nameology, NEIMOLOGY, right?
Right, and if your listeners go today or tomorrow and go for the free newsletter that's up there, they will also get an email that does a partial name analysis. I just randomly pick letters and do those letters for them.
Oh, how wonderful. I've so much enjoyed this. We've had great callers all evening. Thank you, Sharon. You worked very hard, but I feel like you enjoyed it too, did you?
Oh, always. Always. This is my joy job, and I wish everybody could be in their joy job.
I know, because you really perk when you do it, and you really lifted me. So thank you so much for spending this time with us, and I hope you'll come back.
Oh, it's always my pleasure to share with you, Veronica, and you always have had wonderful listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for listening to Sharon Wyeth, and I hope that you learned a lot about your own name, and we'll all get her book, I'm sure. And my name is Veronica Entwistle. If you want me or you want to comment on Sharon or other guests or you have guest suggestions, any feedback, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. No H in Entwistle, and I should have asked Sharon about that for sure. My next week's guest is Joseph Mark Cohen, and he has a deck of cards, oracle cards, but they're amazing. They all have pictures of crop circles on them, and the description in the back he's encoded with the Kabbalah, information from the Kabbalah codes, and some Hebrew scripture learnings and so on. It's very complex, but it's easy to read at the same time. So you're taking a lot of subliminal information, whether it's from the symbols on the front or the information on the back. He's going to be very interesting. It's Joseph Mark at treeoflife.com. So tune in next Tuesday at 8 o'clock here on wonderful BBS Radio. Thank you so much for listening tonight. Let's everyone take a deep breath and send it out in blessings to one another in this community. And again, good night. Thank you for listening.